The reading this evening is taken from Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. In church Bibles, that's page 961. Do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? Judah has been unfaithful. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying women who worship a foreign god. As for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord remove him from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings an offering to the Lord Almighty. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask, why? It is because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lisa. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, we pray that we would hear your voice. Amen. So, as I said at the beginning, this is a bit of a passage to wrestle with. There's some very strong language in here and some emotive issues. Malachi talks about breaking faith, about profaning the covenant, desecration of the temple, being cut off, divorce and violence. Where do we start? Well, I think we have to pick our fight for today. It doesn't negate or minimize the things I'm not going to talk about or the importance of the other questions raised by this passage. But the question I always have to ask if I'm going to preach is, what might God want to say to us through his word this evening? And the title that I've been given is Deep Relationships. So that's what we're thinking about, deep relationships. Our personal relationships, our relationships as a church, our relationship with God and the relationships we have with others. And I think that there are two key words that appear in this passage. There's faithfulness, which is easy to understand, keeping faith with somebody, doing what we've said we'll do. And there's covenant. And I know I've spoken about covenants before, that they were unbreakable agreements. A covenant was a legal agreement made between two parties and sealed with a sign. And often, early covenants were marked with a sacrifice. So they'd take an animal, they would cut it in half, and then the two parties would walk down the middle of that animal, with its bits on either side of them. And I think the point was that this agreement was so serious that if one or other party broke it, their fate should be the same as the animals. Pretty gruesome. But let's look at this in context. So the context then was that many of the Jewish people had returned from exile. They'd come back to Jerusalem after years and years under oppressive rules elsewhere. They'd rebuilt the temple, they'd rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and they were now quite comfortable, but very dissatisfied. They were expecting God to bless them, and they couldn't really work out why he didn't seem to be doing that. As far as they were concerned, everything was rosy in the garden. There were pressures from society on them. They were living with people who didn't believe the same as they did. And there were opportunities for them that perhaps they weren't really supposed to take. See and hear that there were mixed marriages. They were marrying women who were worshipping other gods. And the implication is that they were going off track themselves as they did that. Not only that, but they were divorcing their first wives in order to do so. So that was their context. What about ours? As we look at this, God knows us as we are today. He doesn't necessarily treat us in the same way as he would have treated people in Old Testament times. His standards are the same, but our experience is different. What about us? Well, we have religious freedom. We're not under persecution, not here. We've got a lot of comfort. Many of us experience very comfortable lives. And if we don't have that, then at least we expect to have comfortable lives. If we're not comfortable, then we're dissatisfied because we assume that we should. We have almost unlimited rights and choices in our society. And we're very self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency is almost a god, being able to look after yourself, health, wealth, and happiness. That's what we are aiming for. Well, what many people are. So two different contexts with some similarities, I think. Some pressures from society around us going, you don't have to do it your way. You don't have to follow what you think your religion tells you. There are other ways of doing this. And perhaps you can have a bit of both. Perhaps you can come our way and do something the way we reckon and still be a Christian, still go to church. It's quite difficult. I grew up thinking that faith was very black and white, thinking that life was very black and white. And I discovered that it wasn't, that there are a lot of grey areas. And actually, that's much harder to live with. It's much easier to say, this is right, this is the only way to do it, and anyone who doesn't agree with me is wrong. But I don't really think it's like that. Deep relationships. What might those deep relationships look like for the people of Malachi's time? Well, we've talked about covenants. The Jewish people were in a covenant relationship with God. They had the opportunity to be close to him. If they followed the commandments that they'd been given, then their father and creator had a very straightforward way of being with them. They were reliant upon God. They could have been totally reliant upon God, who was the witness of their covenant with himself. And he also says that he's the witness to the covenants they've made to each other, to their marriages. Marriage is a covenant. Fortunately, at wedding services, we don't chop animals in half and make the bride and groom walk between them. I'm quite relieved about that. I think I'd be too squeamish to be a priest if that was the case. But it is still a covenant. It's an agreement, It's a legal agreement. Both parties have responsibilities within it. And we have a sign. For most people, that's a wedding ring. A sign that is a physical demonstration of that covenant. And there are consequences if somebody breaks the covenant. That was the same in their case. What were the deep relationships they could have had with each other? Well, they were chosen as a people to be a blessing to the world around them. They had a purpose. God didn't just have his favourites. I think we often think the Old Testament seems very odd, that God had this favourite group of people and everyone else he seemed to just obliterate. It wasn't quite like that. The point of the chosen people was that they would be the first example of how God wanted to relate to all of humankind. And that if they lived in that covenant relationship with him and they demonstrated it with each other, then people would have been drawn to them. They were set apart. They had laws to follow that they'd been given for their own good. They could have been a holy people, and that's what God wanted. But they had broken that covenant. They'd broken the faith. They'd desecrated the temple. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel, says Malachi, and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying women who worship a foreign god. They'd broken commandments, and they were worshipping someone else. And then they were asking God why he wasn't blessing them. And the answer comes from, we used it for our confession about God. In 1 John, where it says, God is light, and blah, 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 blah. If we confess, sorry, it doesn't say blah, blah. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. God's faithfulness and his sense of justice are unchangeable things. And as a faithful and just God, he wanted the best for his people there. And when they started to make wrong choices, he wasn't just going to let them go and say, oh, that doesn't matter. Never mind. As a parent, if our children make wrong choices, we don't go, oh, never mind. Because we know that each time that happens, it's leading down a path. And if we can say, no, think about this. Why would you do that? Perhaps this would be better. Then it helps them to grow strong and healthy, able to make good choices for themselves. God, as the witness, wants what's best for them and is prepared to challenge them and to bring them back. And we know that he's always ready to forgive. He was as ready to forgive the people of Malachi's time when they turned and came back to him as we believe he is to forgive us. He wasn't willing to compromise when their well-being was at stake. And what about us? Well, this was all taking place before Jesus came. We know that. Their relationship with God, the Jewish people, was based very much on those laws and on sacrifices. It was, perhaps, quite black and white. They knew what they needed to do, and it was up to them. Through Jesus' sacrifice, we are brought into a covenant with God. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we can have faith that grows. Jesus brings us forgiveness. We can know healing and wholeness. The Spirit can encourage and enable us. And we have freedom to pray, to learn, to witness, and to live within eternity. what about our relationships with others? Well, if we're going to be faithful, when we make promises, we need to keep them. In whatever sphere that's in, whether it's in the sphere of business, where we make a commitment and have contracts, we need to stick to our word. We need to be people who can be trusted. Whether it's in our homes and our families, whether it's amongst our friends, if we make a commitment to someone, we need to be faithful. And we can ask for God to help us to have the strength when that's difficult. We need to be people who care for others, not people who use others. One of the things about these men in this story from Malachi is that when they got fed up with the wives of their youths, their wives of their youth, people they'd married when they were younger, when they got fed up, they weren't allowed to just discard them. That's what they were doing. They were looking for the younger models. They were looking for people who perhaps would meet their needs, rather than being committed to the covenant, to the promise they'd made. They were being entirely selfish. They were using people, not caring for them. And our love for other people sometimes may mean laying down our lives, putting our own wants and needs second, putting first the needs of those that God calls us to care for. Sometimes we choose to care for people and we commit to them. Sometimes the people we need to care for aren't necessarily the people we've chosen, but the ones that God brings to us. We're not to put our own needs first and feather our own nests. If we want deep relationships, if we want lasting and significant relationships, then we need to be committed to them. I was rather hoping just to completely avoid talking about divorce tonight, and yet I don't think I can. There are lots of passages here in the Bible that talk about divorce, and I know that we come from very different places with very different experiences. That's why I wanted to start with that illustration this evening of not judging. God has created marriage as a beautiful thing. Talks in many places about it being a reflection, a husband and wife's love for each other is a reflection of God's love for the church and the church's response. And for these people in Malachi, it wasn't just that their human relationships had broken down. It was the fact that the breaking down of those human relationships was saying something about their relationship with God, them as whole people. But it doesn't say anywhere that God hates people who are divorced or who come to divorce. It just doesn't say that. It says God hates divorce. And the reason that he hates it is that it is a breaking of something that he designed to be beautiful. He's made many things in this world to be beautiful, and many of them we have broken. Divorce is not unique in that. It talks here about the man who hates and divorces his wife doing violence to the one he should protect. And again, within that culture at that time, to leave the wife that they'd had for years and to abandon her and to go and be with somebody else was a really horrible, difficult thing to do. And God hates that breakdown of relationships. It makes him sad. Any broken friendship is a source of sadness to us, isn't it? We don't want it to happen. And it's the same with divorce. Nobody gets married thinking that they will divorce. Nobody goes into marriage thinking, oh, never mind. If this doesn't work, it might not. I'll just throw it away. I've never met anyone, I've never married anyone who said to me, well, I'll just give it a go and see if it works. And God knows that. And yet we know that we are imperfect people. And that relationships do break down. And that that is sad, but it's a fact. I don't believe that God wants people to stay in relationships that are harmful. I think he probably says, I understand. And obviously it's not something that anyone would choose to go into. But when it does happen, it's not up to us to judge. It's certainly not up to people outside a marriage relationship to judge somebody else's relationship and what they should do or shouldn't do. We believe in a God who forgives, who enables. But we believe in a God who calls us to be faithful to him and to each other as much as we can. So this evening, what's it saying to us? I think it says that our relationships need care and attention, but that we also need to be realistic. That when things are tough, we need to ask God to come and help us, to draw alongside and give us wisdom and guidance. These aren't just marriage relationships, these are any relationships. We have, I'm going to say the advantage, it's not quite the right word, but we know the power of the Holy Spirit. We know on this side of Calvary, on this side of Pentecost, that God can come to us and be with us and help us. And so we need to pay attention to our relationships. I wonder which of our relationships this evening need attention. I wonder whether if we had to face God tonight, how we would feel about our relationship with him. Whether we'd be entirely comfortable to stand before him and say, I've loved you. With all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength. Or whether we might need to say, I've made a mess of some of this. And I haven't been as committed as I might. I haven't given you the attention and the time to make a good, deep relationship. There might be relationships within our families that needs some attention. Not only are we supposed to love God with our whole heart and mind and strength, but we're supposed to love our neighbours as ourselves. That might be people close to us who perhaps we've not loved with everything, where we have used them rather than cared for them. It might be amongst our friends. It might be in wider circles at work. It might be that as we think about our world and we judge the mess that it's in, God might be challenging us to love rather than to judge, to reach out rather than to push away. And perhaps if we are people who have experienced broken relationships, we need to bring those to God and to hear his healing forgiveness poured into our lives. To know that he knows us inside out and he still loves us. And perhaps for some of us that's about making the best of broken relationships. Of now trying to have a fresh start. And where things can't be fixed, and they can't be fixed always. Of at least trying to see the other person through God's eyes. But I think the last thing perhaps to say is that we're thinking about God as a witness to a covenant. That he not only witnesses when we make a mess of things, he knows when we've been hurt as well. He knows when other people have hurt us. And his heart breaks when he sees that. He loves us. And he loves those around us. His desire is for us to live in relationship with him, in deep relationships. I'm going to stop talking. Let's pray. Father, thank you that when you look at us, you see us as your children. You see us as people that you love so much you came to die for. Thank you that you understand the joys of our lives and the pain in our lives. Thank you that when times are really difficult, you never walk away. That when life is not black and white, but very mucky and grey, you stay so close to us. And Lord, I want to pray for those among us tonight who are feeling that they are in very grey places, who would love things to be black and white, sorted and clear. I pray for those people that you would bring patience, that you would bring perseverance, that you would bring hope when it's dark. That they would know you faithfully holding their hands and walking with them. Lord, I pray for those of us who have been wronged by other people. We pray that your justice would be done. But we pray that you would help us to see with your eyes. Help us not to take on the task of judgment, but to wait with you and to try to love where we can. And Lord, for those of us who have broken relationships recently or in the past, we thank you that you take us where we are now. And we pray that as we look forward with you, you would lead us and guide us. And for those in healthy relationships and new relationships, we thank you for the joy of connection with people who love us. And we pray that you would help us to give the time and attention we need to those relationships, that they might honour you. And Father, for those who are lonely, who would love to be in deep relationships, we pray for your timing, for your patience, and for all of us We pray that we would increasingly love our neighbours and reach out with the love that you have shown us in Jesus. Amen.